listening to Chrysalis Color, the podcast. Hello, this is Jorunn from Norway.
And Christine in Canada.
With a podcast about color analysis and how it applies to you in a practical way. We'll talk about how to use your colors to make your days brighter, your wardrobe more enjoyable, and your life easier.
We'll talk about topics that we find interesting, and we encourage you to submit your questions. A podcast listing is available at chrysaliscolor.com under the podcasts tab.
Hi, and welcome to episode 18 of the Chrysalis Color Analysis podcast. Joining us today will be color analyst and style coach Anna Lazarska from Poland.
Hi, everyone. We are excited about today's show. Our guest is a colleague for whom Jorunn and I have great admiration for her skill and her dedication to helping her clients by using her own story and experience to improve theirs. Anna and I met in Ontario for her training as a 12 Blueprints color analyst in 2016, and it has been a privilege to see her craft a new business into an already busy life. Hi, Anna. Thank you for being here today.
Hi, Christine. Hi, Jorunn. Hello, everyone. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Christine and I have said so many times to each other that we really would like to feature a style analyst in our podcast. Style is really closely linked to color, and Christine and I hardly have any conversation about color without bringing up style. And as Christine said, we both deeply admire Anna for her skill in not only helping people find their style, but also being able to explain it clearly to us. In preparing for this podcast, I was on the edge of my seat most of the time when Anna was talking, not daring to breathe for fear I would miss out on one of the points Anna was explaining. So I'm so excited to share you with our listeners, Anna. But before we dive into our show, I'd like to say that Anna's website will be linked in the show notes. And recently, Anna posted a fascinating series of posts in the Chrysalis Color website called One Woman, Four Versions. I'm not going to say more about that now, but do check it out. We'll make sure to link to them in the show notes.
Our listeners will find this story inspiring. I know that we did on many, many levels. Your vision of a whole person with a whole life and your deep thinking into the strategies that worked for you and where you found them were so impressive. And I think so important as part of everyone's appearance conversation, the appearance conversation in general. When color analysts transition from being women looking for answers to their own appearance questions to becoming professional analysts who solve these concerns with their clients, I always encourage them to keep a journal of the questions they had along the way and the solutions they found. And Anna, you did just that, and you created a multifaceted business. Could you take us back to the beginning before your color analyst credential? What year is it when your story begins?
My professional journey as a color analyst and style coach is a result of my own color and style experience. I think we could start the story in about 2005, when I was at the beginning of my corporate career working for a consumer goods giant. Back then, I was a rebel redhead wearing all black, and looking at my pictures from that time, I really cannot believe they actually hired me, you know? And by the way, you can find one of them included in my hair color story, which was posted at Chrysalis Color a while ago.
Ooh, hair story. We will absolutely link to that in the show notes, having recently done a whole series of episodes on hair color. We do love a good hair story, don't we, Christine?
We do. We love a good hair story very much.
Yes, especially since we've had our share of, shall we say, less successful attempts at hair coloring ourselves?
Yes, we have.
I'm sorry, Anna, I interrupted you. So, where were we? In spite of your hair being colored red and you were wearing all black, they hire you. So, go on, tell us more.
Right. So over the next few years, while I was climbing the corporate ladder, I felt I should change my image to look like everyone else. So I introduced new colors, I toned down my style, and I returned to my natural hair color. I learned a lot about dress code then. I subscribed to a number of fashion magazines and I followed all the advice on how to become a stylish and fashionable woman that I could find. It was also the time when I got to know about the types of natural coloring and body types. Self-typing, combined with a few online and in-person analyses I had, led me to the point where I was living as a true summer with classic style. And I was very, very committed to making it work. But the more I wore those pastels and those traditional styles, the worse I felt. And I remember looking at myself in the mirror thinking I just had lost it. I looked old, tired, and faded. And I wasn't even 40 yet.
You know, I remember Anna in summer and how surprisingly unflattering summer colors were, given that it's the season one might expect from Anna's natural appearance. I remember having this similar experience with autumn, trying to make it work. It's interesting, isn't it, how we can have our nose in a map and follow a set of rules into this landscape and then suddenly look up and not recognize the place at all, or in my case, meeting someone who didn't recognize us in that place. By the way, listeners may recall the recent winter hair color episode in which I mentioned Anna's coloring as part of the true winter section. So what happened next, Anna?
Well, next I went on a quest to find a way back to myself. And I challenged my color palette first. I read a lot about color analysis and this is how I came across 12 blueprints. It was spring of 2016, if I recall correctly. And at that time I was living in the US where I was on a work assignment. I went to see the closest analyst to Boston and it truly turned my life upside down. Because after a 5 hours long session, I left through the door as a true winter. I was so happy and relieved. I realized that all I wanted was now available. It was such a breakthrough for me. And I was about to move back to my home country, Poland, then, so I decided to train as a color analyst before I went back overseas. Actually, last week, 4 years passed since I completed my training with you, Christine.
Really? It's been 4 years? Oh my goodness, I would have guessed two, maybe, or three. So now you're a personal color analyst, preparing to go back to Poland, but you also had a style analysis before you moved back, is that right?
Yes, that's right, Christine. So since my color palette turned out to be different than everyone had expected, I started questioning my style as well. This is why I reached out to Rachel Nachmias for personal image analysis while I was still in the US. And she confirmed what I was secretly hoping for, that I was born for a romantic, not classic style. And after that, having both color and image analysis done, the pieces of the puzzle kept coming together. But the challenge now was to make them work together instead of just having one booklet of recommendations for each of them. And I must say, I was disappointed that nobody could help me in this process. The most difficult part for me at that time was to find things that fit all the criteria, both my color palette and image archetype. The choices in stores seemed so limited that I worried it would take ages to build the closet I wanted.
So here I am on the edge of my seat still. How did you solve that?
It took me a lot of time to identify common grounds between color and line and how they applied to the life I lived. What in the end helped me the most was reapplication of some of the business frameworks I knew from my corporate job. I understood that a successful and sustainable change of my personal style required a strategic approach. And by strategic, I mean holistic, long-term, and intentional, first of all. Therefore, I used business strategy development methodology to establish what I wanted the end result to be, to take stock of the foundations I already had, to choose themes of my personal style, and of course, to plan how to bring it all to life.
You know, as a former veterinarian, I relate very much to bringing ways of thinking and reasoning from previous careers into our new experiences. But I'm unfamiliar with business strategy and corporate frameworks. How did you apply business strategy to your own appearance questions and style development at this point?
Well, I believe that strategy is the art of making choices. And when it comes to appearance, you want these choices to support your personal brand. For example, being in a management position myself, if I want to look professional, I will limit the number of colors in my outfit and stick to the neutrals or calmer colors in my palette, like blues or greens. As for style, I will stay away from lace, ruffles, or floral prints, even though they belong to my image archetype and I love them so much. And instead, I will choose a knee-length form-fitting dress with long sleeves and high neckline. And all these choices will make me look like me, but in a more office-appropriate version.
I love what you just said now. Strategy is the art of making choices. And I can imagine that you will lead every client of yours to the point of being able to make choices that will make them look like them. You mentioned looking professional. So my next question is, are there certain colors in different palettes that you teach clients to avoid in order to look professional?
It is very individual and depends primarily on how my client would like to be perceived in her work environment. The second factor is the work environment itself, especially its dress code and how strictly it is followed.
Now, do your clients have various appearance goals, or in your business, do you stick with professional appearance outcomes?
They do have different goals. It's not only because some are in high-level management positions and others work in kindergarten, for example. They also have non-work-related image goals, as they want to be perceived in certain ways by, say, their partners, families, or social circles.
Yes, I'm reminded of one situation that came up in our conversations, Christine and Anna and I earlier. Say a woman who loves bright lipstick, but her husband doesn't like her wearing those bright lipsticks. So how would she still wear that and still look good in her husband's eyes?
Well, I would love to say this. You are a strong and independent woman, so wear it anyhow. But it is not always that straightforward, as we all know. So I think it goes back to the image goals you might have for different areas of your life where you want to make an impression and be recognized in a certain way by your audience. So consider your loved ones as your stakeholders, the same way you do your clients or your management at work. And actually, you probably care more about your loved ones and what they think of you, right? With that, you can try to find a win-win solution. It could be reserving a bold lips for a girls' night out, for example, while sticking to just foundation, blush, and mascara for a family evening at home. And I'm sure, Jorion, you could have some other ideas how to balance it all, being a bright winter yourself.
Yes, well, I might not be a good example because after embracing my bright winter season, I love those bright lipsticks and I wear them all the time, even when I'm at home alone vacuuming or in any setting. But Anna, so do you ever meet anyone whose secret goals don't match the life that they live?
I sometimes meet people who think that their style goals and preferences contradict with their color palette or image archetype. They struggle to solve the riddle by themselves until we explore it together. For example, one of my recent clients, a petite and youthful woman, appreciates the types of dresses, tops, and bottoms we have chosen for her. However, she doesn't embrace cute and tiny details, bows and ruffles that come so naturally with her image archetype. She actually prefers boho style. But since long dresses and huge hobo bags and cowboy boots do not work for her body type, we focus on distilling what it is that she loves about boho and adapting it to her scale and essence instead.
That sounds fascinating. I would love to be your client. But Anna, I have another question. If I'm in a shop and find two garments, what matters most, color or style? What's more important, to flatter the skin or your image? So in the ideal world, we might find that 1% that fits both categories, but if you have to choose, what's most important?
If I really had to choose, I would say color. I think we might have more leeway with style. We can play with different pieces and find ways to make them work together.
I'm glad you said that, because that's what I say too when I get asked that question by my clients. So if you have to choose, always choose what makes you look well and rested.
Yeah, I agree as well. You can have the best cut suit, but in a nowhere color or a color that doesn't work with you, it just leaves no impression, or an impression that you really didn't want to make. You know, I'm always so fascinated by life's winding path and everyone's journey that leads them to where they go to. When you opened your business, did you offer both color and image services?
I started with color, and I trained with Rachel to learn all the secrets of image archetypes and body type analysis in about a year after moving to Poland. And then I began offering both color and style services.
And now, Anna, I understand you actually offer three services: color, style, and coaching. How did you add the coaching service?
Well, I knew my clients would need the same help I had missed in my journey. And a couple of months after I started offering image analysis services, I met one of my colleagues who already knew her colors and her image archetype. And she was struggling with this issue exactly. I told her I could share with her all the strategies I applied myself. And after all, she had nothing to lose and agreed to give it a try for 10 weeks. And the outcome was so much more than she could ever expect. It was so appreciated that the word about it quickly spread out. And this is how it all started, with just a style strategy framework in my head, with no big launch, no fancy marketing campaigns.
You know, the ability to integrate color and style and personal preference is such a unique service and as you found, so valuable. Do you offer the three services separately, or is coaching always included?
I offer color analysis and image analysis as one-time standalone services. Style, on the other hand, it's a process, and its development takes more time. So depending on how much time my client is willing to dedicate and how fast she's ready to move forward, coaching can be anywhere from 10 weeks to even 1 year.
So style development is what you call the coaching program?
Yes, that's right. And I call it the style strategy.
So how are your clients divided? Are they mostly color analysis or mostly style analysis or a mix?
Most of them start with either color or image analysis. Then they may decide to continue with coaching as an extension of their style journey or not. I would say about one third jump straight to the personal style development course, even without doing any color or image analysis first.
That's actually really interesting. How would the coaching work with clients who don't know their colors or their image type?
My coaching program involves 10 sessions, which can be done in person or remotely via online video calls. And it starts with establishing my client's image goals. First, we discuss her lifestyle, her preferences, her inspirations, all in order to build a coherent and truly personal style. And then we plan how to bring this vision to life. And it includes streamlining her closet, making sure it contains all she needs for key areas of her life, changing shopping habits, and planning outfits for future reference. With all that, knowing her colors and lines is very, very helpful. Therefore, if she doesn't have her body type analysis done prior to this course, I usually include it anyway. It is a little bit more tricky with color because, as you know, color analysis has to be conducted in person. So if she is unable to travel, then we establish the color basis for her style using all those colors that she's naturally drawn to and the ones which can best help meet her image goals.
Could you explain how you work with a client who does know their color and their image archetype?
What I think most stylists do is help you realize their vision of you. And I think it takes you even further away from who you are and what you want to say. And if you want a unique, coherent, and sustainable personal style, it has to come from within. And this is why my philosophy is to give my clients a fishing rod, not a fish. I know how it sounds, but I will say it anyway. I just don't want them to need me or any stylist anymore. That's why I teach them to make their own choices, the best choices for them. And I remember a conversation I had with one of my friends when we were about to start her style development course. She said, "Oh, I cannot wait till you come over and throw away all the clothes which are not right for me." And my response was, "Nope, you will do it yourself when we are finished, because then you will know exactly what serves you and what does not." So if she has, say, 3 pairs of dark pants to choose from, and she's unsure which one to pick, but yes, we can discuss them together, of course, but I do not do closet cleanouts or shopping for my clients.
Sustainable personal style. I'm liking this so much. So I can really hear that your mission is to bring out what the client has inside herself, not decide what style you want her to have and then convince her of that. It's brilliant, just brilliant. And something I found fascinating when we talked earlier in planning this show, you talked about personal style as a triangle, in like 3D layers almost. Can you say more about that?
Indeed. I see color and line as two foundations of one's personal style. But you know, two women with the same natural coloring and the same body type will never look the same because their lifestyles, jobs, and family circumstances are not identical. They live in different climate zones. They have different preferences, like wearing high heels over flats. And they have been having various fashion fantasies since they were 10. And do you know you're in the saying, passion is what you buy and style is what you do with it? Mm-hmm. Well, this is where the third element comes in, your own lens. The ones you develop thanks to your individual circumstances and experience. And this is the magic ingredient which makes your style truly personal, consistent, and authentic.
That's just wonderful. Absolutely great. I love the part about people becoming independent in their appearance choices. We will leave you with Anna's insightful words to bring us to the end of today's episode. Many, many thanks to Anna for joining us and to our listeners for sharing in the conversation. We look forward to seeing you for the next episode of the Chrysalis Color Podcast. Bye for now.